Run,
hello, everybody. Welcome back to Random Troy Radio. This is a Rod and Gott episode, Random Troy's Game of Thrones recaps. Well, this is going to be a brief preview of the Season 7. We're going to have a fantasy draft here on this episode, and hopefully you guys will reacquaint yourselves with Rod on Gott as well, with myself, Michael Castillo, and my co-host, Alicia D'Aratola.
Hello, everybody.
And from the What's Brewing Show, Jake Merrifield.
Hello. It's good to be back. How are you guys?
We're good. I'm glad to have you back. Glad to have all three of us together. It feels both like forever and then like last week that the last episode was on.
I totally agree with that. I just watched the last episode again a couple days ago, but it was like, oh yeah, it was kind of like, oh yeah, I remember that, but it didn't seem like it was that long ago.
I was just telling Michael that I need to watch a recap or something because I don't remember anything. And then I listened to a recap and I was like, oh yeah, I remember all of that.
Yeah, right.
So like I'm in a weird in between. Like, okay, I need to like deep dive some recapping, but I also, you know, it hasn't been that long. It's just been long.
Last season ended on like June 27th. So we're only like a year removed from last season. It's just this season is basically starting after last season would have ended. So it just gets pushed back a little bit. Seven episodes in this season, and it will lead us right into the college football season, which is awesome. Absolutely awesome. 19 straight weeks, Game of Thrones or USC, or 19 of 20 weeks if UCLA, since UCLA gets a bye week. But let's get straight into this thing. What are you looking forward to most this season, Jake?
Really, I'm just, as we talked about last season, there was a lot of trimming of the fat, you know, especially at the last two episodes of last season where, you know, Cersei basically eliminated almost everybody. And then a lot of the stuff in the north kind of summed up. So now we're kind of getting down to the brass tacks, and we're really going to see who are the, you know, who the eventual winners and losers are going to be. And so that's kind of exciting to see how they kind of trim it down even more heading into the final few episodes.
Yeah, Danny is finally coming to Westeros, and you know Arya and Jon are probably going to meet up, and there's going to be a big Stark reunion. I feel like we're finally getting to the point that we imagined like years ago. It's finally all coming together to have this stretch run. But Alicia, what are you looking forward to most in season 7?
No, like you said, it feels like this entire exercise has just been a primer for Danny getting to Westeros. For me, that's what I'm most excited about, is that it feels like from the beginning, it was like, well, eventually she's going to get there, right? And now we're there. She's there. And what kind of havoc that's going to wreak on an already chaotic kind of land is going to be super fun. That's what I'm most looking forward to, seeing where her arc goes.
Yeah, I will second that. But I think to me, what eclipses that, I want to see what the hell happens with the Lannisters. Like, Cersei is such in a weird position on the Iron Throne, but you can make the claim that she probably shouldn't be there. It should be somebody else. And then you have this dynamic of this lingering doom with everyone thinking that Jaime is going to end up killing her, or is it going to be Tyrion? Some sort of, you know, brother of hers is going to get her because that's what the prophecy is. I feel like her storyline has the most different outcomes of anyone. Because what's Dany's outcome? That she kills everybody, or that she meets John, they get married, or whatever the hell it is, and that's it. What's John's outcome? That he beats or loses to the White Walkers and then gets to Dany. Cersei, I feel like, could go a million different ways, and I think that's going to be fascinating to see exactly what happens with her character, because I don't know what the hell's going to happen to her character.
I totally get your point, although I think that there's a lot of those interesting kind of matchups now that, you know, really that they, when, you know, they blew up the Baelor, it kind of made it to where you could wrap your brain around some of these matchups now, instead of just being a big jumble of characters kind of all beating each other up. Now we really have some legitimate ones that we can kind of see kind of coming together. We might not know exactly how they're going to play out, who's going to win, or, you know, how these triangles and squares are going to work, but now we really are down to pairs and triangles and squares of matchups, and that's kind of cool to think about.
Yeah, which I think leads perfectly into our main segment here on this Rod and Gott preview, which is the fantasy draft going into season 7. Here's the way it's going to work. We've put together a little fantasy game for the three of us. We are each going to draft two named characters in Game of Thrones. We will have a snake draft. We by random draw, we decided to go with Alicia drafting first, and then me, and then Jake, and then Jake, and then me, and then Alicia in two rounds, and we will pick characters. What do you do with the characters? Well, we've got a point system. You will get 15 points for your character leading a victory in a battle or confrontation, 10 points for your character assisting in a battle victory or confrontation victory, and 5 points for every direct kill of another named character, plus half of their accumulated point total. For instance, Jon Snow, and he accumulates 40 points, and then you kill him at the end, you get 5 points plus half of his total, which would be 20 points, which is 25 points. Because that kill should matter more than killing the Sand Snakes, who do nothing.
There you go.
So, Alicia, take it away. You are on the clock.
Get on with it!
This is difficult, though, because that means I get to sort of set the stage. My thought process is sort of going for one of three characters. It's either got to be Tyrion, Dany, or Jon. I really like Tyrion. I'd love to pick him. But my concern being is that those direct kills are going to be a huge part of this competition. So it's got to be somebody who's actually going to be out there potentially killing people. And deciding that is really difficult, too. And then the other side of this, too, is that I want somebody who's going to be leading confrontations. That's why I was picking between those three. I think I'm going to go Dany, because I think she's going to have a lot of stuff to do. And her potential for killing people with dragons is pretty good. So, yeah, that's my pick.
Daenerys Stormborn.
There we go. Off the board. Number one.
Yeah.
I like the weapons of mass destruction aspect your dragons give you.
She's going to be involved in a lot of conflicts, and she has potential to be killing people directly if she feels like it. The question will be is if she feels like it, but she's done it before, so.
At the very least, she's going to win a lot of battles, you would assume,
yeah.
You know, based on the current trajectory. I'd say that's the clear number one pick, just as far as I'm concerned. So good pick, Alicia.
Thank you for validating that, because I wasn't sure.
All right, I have the number two pick. I think Cersei is a good pick here. I think Jon Snow is a good pick for all of the direct kills that he can potentially bring. Tyrion Lannister is a good pick. But for me, I'm taking Cersei. Cersei Lannister.
Cersei Lannister.
Yeah, and the reason I take Cersei is because I think she's going to be leading a lot of conflicts, especially early on in the season, and she's going to be tied to Jaime. That allows her to at least rack up some assists if he's out in the field trying to do some things. My concern, though, is she dies early, and then I stop accumulating points because she dies. That's the problem.
Antagonists win a lot in Game of Thrones, so I think that's a smart pick, because the bad guys are going to have to win some battles, and she's definitely going to win her fair share of battles.
Yeah, she's definitely the number one baddie at this point, I think, other than, you know, whatever's going on north of the wall. My only concern about Cersei is that, you know, if this draft were for last year, she would have been the number one pick in hindsight, because she pretty much eliminated everybody south of the Twins in one big, giant firebombing. I'm just wondering how much gas she has left, so to speak, to take people out. I think I think Alicia and you're right in that she'll win some battles because they, you know, I don't think they're going to kill her right off the bat. I wonder, you know, if she's already shot her wide, so to speak.
I think she'll be involved early, but I don't know how long that's going to go into season 7. But Jake, you have the number 3 pick and the number 4.
Yeah, I'll make this quick and easy. You know, I wasn't sure what you guys were going to pick, but I think that, you know, there was a couple characters that I was batting around. You know, one I was thinking of was possibly Jaime, because I feel like, you know, he's going to be a character that I think he's ultimately going to end up redeeming himself kind of fully based on his current trajectory. But I think there's a lot of room for a lot of different conflicts for him, and, you know, kind of backing Cersei and then deciding whether or not to back her, and then eventually bailing on her or whatever it is. I think Jaime's going to be in there quite a bit. But eventually, I think I just coming around to, I might as well stay Team Stark. I've always liked the Starks. I think, you know, they're protagonists pretty much. But I'm going to go Jon Snow. And with the 4th pick,
Arya Stark.
And I'm going Jon Snow for reasons you guys already stated, but I'm going Arya because, you know, even though, you know, she's kind of has the same treatment as Cersei, she's avenged herself quite a few times. And I wonder how many of those she has left, but I think she has the potential kind of sneak in and out of there and really rack up some good points from other characters that have already accumulated points. So I'm hoping late in the season, we get another thing like we got with Arya's destruction of Mr. Frey. And if that happens, then I'll be looking good.
I was low key hoping that Arya would slip under the radar and I could pick her up at the end, because I seriously consider taking her number one overall. She's got a rack of a body count, I think. And the problem is that she won't be leading battles because she's kind of a lone wolf at this point, but she's going to rack up a body count, and that could be huge depending on who those bodies are. So that is those two, you're getting the leadership aspect and the body count aspect. That's formidable right there.
I'm really hoping that Arya is just coming into her own, you know, so we'll see. We'll see how that turns out. All right, back to Michael, right?
Yeah, I have the fifth pick. I love those two picks, especially Arya, for all the reasons that Alicia said. I think if you put a gun to my head and said who's going to have the most kills this season, I would say probably Jon Snow, because he's going to be, you know, fighting a lot of the White Walkers, the Whites, all that beyond the Wall. But yeah, Arya's a sneaky good pick because she has that list. She can just off a bunch of people with that. For my pick number five, this is really tough because there's some options here.
Definitely.
I've gone back and forth between three guys: Jaime Lannister, Tyrion Lannister, and the Hound. And the reason I mentioned the Hound, because I think the Hound could be like Arya in racking up a lot of kills, though not going to be involved with conflict wins. That's the tough part. Who gets involved in a lot of the conflict wins? I think Tyrion. So I'm going to take Tyrion Lannister.
Tyrion Lannister.
And the reason I take Tyrion Lannister, I think he kills Cersei. And at the very end of season 7, he kills Cersei and gets all of the points she's gotten the entire season. That's how season 7 ends. And I win the whole thing with all the points.
No, that's definitely, you definitely might set yourself up for something big there. That my only concern with Tyrion is once again, my kind of reservation with Cersei is, did they already give them their big moment of, yeah, you know, their big stand over the top of the mountain moment, so to speak? But certainly he has tons of potential. And you would have to think, just like with Alicia and Danny, you would have to think that Tyrion is going to be on the winning team to, if not the very end, very close to the end. So you know, you don't see Tyrion bound out anytime soon, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's the three people that you named were my same three going back and forth, and now I'm just going back and forth on the duo of Jaime and the Hound. I actually disagree with you completely. I don't think there's a chance that Tyrion is the one that kills Cersei. If Jaime doesn't, actually, let's make this my prediction for the whole rest of the thing. Like, uh-oh. If Jaime isn't the one who kills Cersei, then I don't know. Like, I won't be able to process that. I'm trying to decide what I would bet on that it's Jaime that kills Cersei.
I actually think this is a case of optimistic Alicia.
Oh yeah,
not optimistic Alicia. So
because I feel so strongly that Jaime is going to kill Cersei, that's the argument to take Jaime, right? But the Hound is such an intriguing character. My only concern being the Hound is more expendable than Jaime at this point. Like, I'm not sure the Hound's going to make it to the end of the season. And I also considered like Brienne and Grey Worm. Littlefinger's going to be interesting. I just don't think he's going to kill anybody like directly. Fine. I'm going Jaime. I gotta go Lannister across the way from Danny. I'm sort of deal with both sides here.
Jaime Lannister. Sorry, I don't have a job for that one.
Hey, that worked though. That worked. Okay. I hate it because I feel like I'm gonna regret it. I feel like I'm gonna regret it because like he's gonna be the one that dies like two episodes in.
I kind of feel like the Hound is gonna be one of those characters that may just kind of swoop in just to take care of the final confrontation with the Mountain. Mm-hmm. So
limited.
Like the Hound is definitely boom or bust. I think Jaime, at least, you know, he's going to be a principal character throughout. Right. You know, however long he has left on the show, he's gonna be one of the featured characters. And I think you probably went right with that one.
See, I think with the Hound, my problem is, as much as I think that he could accumulate a lot of kills, if he's going to be north of the wall, fighting north of the wall, I mean, in the trailer, it looks like he's in a bunch of different places, but if he's north of the wall fighting alongside Jon and fighting alongside Beric Dondarrion and all those guys, he's going to be fighting unnamed characters and getting a bunch of kills that don't accumulate actual points. Killing White Walkers and killing Whites that get you nowhere.
That's what I'm kind of worried about, Jon Snow. I'm hoping that he just wins some battles, because otherwise, you know, I'm afraid he's just going to, kill a bunch of Walkers and Whites, you know, and obviously they're not going to take out the Night King this early. So, you know, I'm a little worried that Jon Snow is going to be limited, but, you know, I figured screen time is probably as big of a benefit to this as you can get. So he's definitely going to be featured.
Absolutely. Well, that will wrap up the fantasy draft portion of this. I think it's going to be really cool to see how this works out. Team Alicia is the Daenerys Targaryen and Jaime Lannister. Team Jake is Jon and Arya Stark. Team Jake is Arya Stark and Jon Snow. And my team, Team Michael, is Cersei and Tyrion Lannister. Before we wrap this thing up, I wanted to go around the horn really quick. First episode coming up on Sunday night. Make a prediction of what goes down. One thing. Predict one thing, Alicia. What goes down on Sunday?
In this first episode, I don't know. I predict that Danny will think things will be easier than they'll actually turn out to be. I know that's really vague, but I just think that she's probably set up to fall flat on her face early on at some point this season. And I think might as well do it in the first episode, because then you have to give her something to rise up against. She usually follows a pretty steady trajectory, so they throw her a curveball early.
So your prediction is Danny will fail at something in the first episode?
Yeah.
He will fail to score points in the first episode. That's what you're saying. Okay.
They got to knock her down, and then she's going to rise up for the rest of the season.
That makes sense.
All right, Jake, what say you?
My prediction is also centered around Danny. Since the episode is named Dragonstone, I'm just going to quite simply predict Danny makes it to Dragonstone at some point during the first episode. I don't know if that's a good pick or not, because, you know, I know they're, you know, out in the ocean somewhere, but I think that's what's going to happen. And then did you guys see the, Michael, before you get your prediction, you see the episode names for the first three episodes? One is Dragonstone, two is Stormborn, and three is the Queen's Justice. I'm a little concerned that we may have a little...
Third episode sounds a little scary for Cersei.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm a little concerned for Michael, because the Queen's Justice, episode three, let's hope for your sake, Michael, that Cersei doesn't get her justice that quick. And we'll see if she's the queen they're talking about, or who the queen they're actually talking about is. There's a lot of queens still running around, so we'll see.
The names of the episodes are pretty interesting. You know, saying that Danny gets Dragonstone is probably the boldest prediction I've ever heard from you.
Oh, thanks. How many predictions have you heard, though? A lot?
I mean, I hear all of your UCLA predictions.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah, okay.
They're not always that bold. That is bold, though. That's absolutely bold. My prediction is Arya does not meet Jon in episode one. I think that's going to be later than people expect.
Was that what the hubbub is? People are expecting them to meet up real quick?
No, I think it's generally assumed that they meet up this season, right? But I think that everyone knows that they're going to meet up this season. So I think it's going to take a little while to get there, because that usually happens. Oh, well, we know this season Jon and Arya are going to re-meet. It's going to take a while.
And they are in pretty close proximity, but I agree with that. I think that's probably a safe one as well.
Do you guys think anything's going to happen in the first episode? Because of the way that last season ended, I feel like this might be a lot of setup. Like, I'm not predicting anything big or stunning or shocking to happen, but it's a season premiere, so I feel like they'll want to have something like that, but...
I feel like usually the way these things are structured, they're going to come out swinging in some way, shape, or form that we don't see. I mean, what happened in the premiere of last episode? I mean, last year, was that the one where Jon bought it, or was that episode? That was when he got resurrected, right? We were all speculating about, is Jon Snow dead or not?
He didn't get resurrected until like the second episode, I thought.
Yeah, we'll see. I kind of feel like there's going to be something big that happens. I'm sure we'll be talking about something come Sunday night.
No, you guys are forgetting the first episode last year. The only time that anything really of substance happened in Dorne was they killed Doran Martell in the first episode.
That's right.
And Tristan.
That was just a complete shedding of a kind of a big storyline that had happened over the last couple seasons, and a real big shedding of a storyline from the books. And just kind of without any to do about it. And they blasted old Doran like they blasted everybody in Baylor at the end of the season.
Another thing that happened in that first episode, which I've now looked up, is all of the ships in Marine get set on fire.
Oh, nice.
So I think that was a pretty big moment in the first episode too. So
yeah, we're definitely bearing the lead as well, because I think it was the last scene in the episode was we got to see 400-year-old naked Melisandre too. So that was quite a revelation as well.
For the night is dark and full of terrors. Yeah.
That was something else. So I think we'll get, even if it's not a bunch of death and destruction, I think we'll definitely get some serious moving forward in the plot. I definitely feel that's going to happen this week.
Yeah, it's going to be an awesome episode. Watch it on Sunday night on HBO. After the episode, we are going to record our recap episode. It'll be up on Monday morning for Rod on Got. If you hate Game of Thrones, I don't know why you've listened this far, but thank you. And if you hate Game of Thrones, then just wait for Tuesday. And Tuesday, you'll have another episode of Random Short Radio. If you've made it this far and want to give us a chance, come back on Monday. And we will be more than happy to talk Game of Thrones with you, as always. Jake, thanks for coming back. I think this is going to be a fun season. Alicia, let's do this thing, and we will see you guys on Sunday.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
See ya.
If you have any last words, now is the time.
Give him what he wants.
Away with you, dogs.
Those are your last words. Fuck you. Come on, you can do better.
Silence!